So I just want to offer a brief trigger warning at the start of this sermon. We're going to be talking about David and Bathsheba, and as such, we're going to be touching on topics of rape and murder that are in the story. So please take care of your own mental health, and if you need to leave, step out. If you need to tune out, whatever you need to do to take care of yourself. Okay. At the Olympics, currently underway in Paris, a man stepped out. His teammate and his opponents were each announced to cheers and applause, but him, not so much. There was a smattering of confused applause from fellow Dutch spectators. And overwhelmingly, though, his name and his presence was met with jeers and booing from the crowd. Each time he served, more angry cries started. You see, this man is Steven van de Velde. He is a 29-year-old beach volleyball player from the Netherlands. He is also a convicted child rapist, who when he was 19, flew to England to meet a 12-year-old girl. His presence has sparked outrage among people across the world, drawing criticism from many countries, including the United Kingdom, Australia, and the United States, all echoing the fact that someone convicted of such crimes would never be allowed to participate on their teams. He is barred from the Olympic Village, where the youngest competitor is only 11, and there has been a petition calling for his withdrawal that has amassed over 125,000 signatures. He said, "I have been branded a sex monster, as a pedophile. That I am not, really not." Now, the Dutch team has said that he did all the counseling and rehabilitation to satisfy them that he would not reoffend. And that may be. He may have completely changed his life. People do deserve second chances. And now he is married with a child. He served 13 months instead of the 4 years that he was sentenced. For such a heinous crime, this seems to be like a pretty good second chance. But is he a role model? Is he the pinnacle of sportsmanship? Our first lesson today picks up right where we left off, with David and Bathsheba. The Reverend Jeff Nelson, who's a contributor to the wonderful podcast Pulpit Fiction, offers this excellent recap. David sees Bathsheba bathing on her roof and orders her brought to him so he can sleep with her. This is not a consensual matter. He's the king, so she can't say no. Then she ends up pregnant. But his attempt to cover it up goes bad, so he orders her soldier husband to be put on the front lines so he will most assuredly be killed, which he is. Then he takes Bathsheba as his wife. Again, she can't say no. David engages in this series of despicable, selfish, and destructive actions, and Nelson finishes by saying, "But do you know what else they are? They are the official acts of a king for which he can't be held accountable by anyone around him. Gone are the days of the humble little shepherd boy, of young before he was King David, fighting Goliath. David is now a rapist and a murderer. His life is forever changed. These actions are now part of his story. But even more so, Bathsheba's life has been forever changed. The narrator continues calling her the wife of Uriah, But she's not anymore. But her husband is dead. She has been brought into the harem of the king. She is David's wife now. And she's pregnant with his child, the product of a non-consensual encounter. Now, I can only imagine the horror of having to relive all of that each day as her pregnancy starts to show and her body changes. All the while, we are told that David wants those in the know to not let this matter be a great evil in their sight. Except it is. Just saying otherwise doesn't actually change anything. The king can't just change a moral reality on a whim. He's broken commandments, principles that should be sacred to him both as an Israelite and also as one who wanted to build a temple to God. He has coveted his neighbor's wife. He has committed adultery and rape, and he has murdered. Three pretty big commandments. And while as king there may be no one who can question his actions or his moral compass, he's still subject to God. Now, as progressive Christians, it has fallen out of vogue to talk about sin a lot. But these things that David has done are wrong. They are evil. They are sin. And God, through the prophet Nathan, will not sit idly by and allow them to go unchallenged. Nathan tells David a parable. There were two men in a certain city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had bought. He brought it up, and it grew up with him and with his children. It used to eat of his meager fare and drink from his cup and lie in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. Now there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was loath to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare for the wayfarer who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared that for the guest who had come to him. David feels the moral outrage of this story. He sees this is wrong as taking what is not yours, of killing, of abusing one that another loves dearly. It's all wrong. The rich man is guilty, and so is David. And Nathan says, "You are the man." And David understands. And David repents. But the thing is, while we can repent and change our lives, which, don't get me wrong, is great, continue doing that, please, we can even bring ourselves into a right relationship with God, and we may even be able to be forgiven by those that we have wronged. But the fact still remains that there are some things that neither we nor God can erase. We sometimes cannot simply go back to how things used to be. Despite history's best efforts, David cannot be remembered solely as a good king. He will have to live forever with what he has done to Uriah and Bathsheba. His future household promised to be in tatters because he violated others. And Stephen Vandeveld will have to live forever knowing that he harmed a child and will forever be marked as a sex offender on the registry of the United Kingdom. Now, it's great that he and his country have moved on, but somewhere in the world is a 22-year-old girl that will live with the pain and repercussions of his actions her entire life. To ignore that is downright harmful. In a similar way, for too long, the story of David and Bathsheba has been interpreted by those in power to be about a king who has a momentary stumble. The whole thing painted as an extramarital affair, and Bathsheba coming across as this very cunning seductress. They want us to move on and remember David for his greatness. But that does a disservice to everyone who's involved in this story. It blames the victim and negates her story. But you know what? God sees through all of these lies and diversions directly into our hearts. God placed Nathan in a place to hold David accountable. We are called to that too. At every level of society, we must hold each other accountable. No one is above God. But we also must be willing and able to listen. Sometimes we are like Nathan and called to speak truth to power. And sometimes we may find ourselves like David and needing to acknowledge our sin, to repent and amend our lives. The truth is that maybe sometimes we are a bit of both. We need to speak and we need to hear. May God give us the voices we need to proclaim justice. And may God give us ears to listen.